Cascade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moe, and this is it. This is the Paisley Penny Arcade. Come on in. Have a seat. Set down. Set down. Or you can sit down if you'd like. That's admissible, too. Admissible evidence, Your Honor. Oh, God. What can you do? What can you do? I've been watching too many Scottish shows. I don't know if you've seen Shetland. Boy, it's a good show. It's not about ponies, but it's a good show. Very good show. I like it anyway. So, how have you been? How's your week been going? How has your year been going? I've had a challenging year, to be quite honest with you. Very challenging year. And, yeah. It's true. I've had a challenging year. And I know some of you have, too. I know that a lot of you have, too. A lot of us have had challenging years. And that's just the fact of the matter. A lot of us have had extremely challenging years, and some of us have had challenging decades, and we're only in the fourth year of this decade. Some of us have had challenging lives, to be honest. But, you know, the challenge is worth it, if you think about it. I mean, wow. But it's been an interesting day. I checked into the I Ching a little bit. Did a coin toss yesterday and did one today. And it was like, wow, some pretty spectacular information. And it's remarkable how it works, and it does work. I have many different ways of consulting the I Ching, and I suggest that. I suggest learning as many different methods of consulting the I Ching as possible, because it really does astound one to find as many different ways of checking into it as possible, because it will always tell you the truth. It'll always tell you what you need to know. There's just no way it doesn't. It does. It does the job. And it does so often. It does so accurately. And it does so in an amazing manner. I don't know, of course, how it works. And I don't know how my TV works. I don't know how my car works. I don't know a lot of things. I don't need to know. You know? You know, and it never fails, unlike a car, which sometimes breaks down, or a TV, which sometimes breaks down. I know that these oracles always work. Tarot always works. Astrology always works. The I Ching unfailingly works. These things always work. So that's the key. You just have to trust. Trust, and they talk to you, and I'll share what I was asking and so on. But I had an inspiration the other night, in the middle of the night, about what to talk about today, because I think a lot of us are going through a lot of changes. These changes have been sometimes thrust upon us, as some of mine have been. I turned 70 this year, and that wasn't a big deal. It didn't feel like a big deal anyway, but then some changes were absolutely thrust upon me. Some of them, you know, you think to yourself, well, that doesn't feel a whole lot different. Then your body begins to creak and change and so on and so forth. In June, we lost our puppy, you know, our dog of 8 years, Trudy, and that was incredibly traumatic for me. and my wife, of course, but I was absolutely just crushed, traumatized in a way that is hard to even talk about, but I can talk about it now. For a long time, I couldn't even talk about it without breaking down, because I loved her so very, very much, and now I love our new dog so very, very, very much. And when you get that kind of unconditional love, sometimes those of you who have furry babies, whether it be a dog or a cat, or a feathered baby, or even a carapace baby, you know, like a tortoise, when you have that type of unconditional love, I saw a Facebook thing, a reel, I guess they call them, of a bull, a man playing with a bull, and doggone it, that bull is playing with the man. He throws a barrel for this bull, and the bull chases the barrel, and then playfully, gives it back to him with his, you know, he's got horns and he just butts the thing back to him, and the bull is having a heck of a good time. And I thought, my God, how is it that we ignore the fact that these creatures play with us? And I found myself feeling horrible about, you know, about what, you know. I've thought most of my life about becoming a vegetarian, and off and on I've tried it, and you know, one of these days I probably am going to do it if I live long enough. But you have to be all in on that, if you know what I mean, all in a household, and you know what I mean. I have done it. I love the other side of that, you know, where you just have no feeling of remorse or guilt or anything else one of these days. But it's been that kind of year, and when you have someone who in your life who absolutely loves you so much, that much, and one day they're gone, and it's selfish, I know, but I also was very happy that it happened the way it did. But it's like, geez, Louise, you just kind of go, whoa, what happened? And then you deal with it, and you deal with it, and it changes you, and it changes your life, and it changes everything about your life. It'd be like one day if you woke up and you realized that the sun wasn't the sun, that it was actually the moon, and the moon was actually something else, and you, wait a minute, how do you deal with that? Change. Change is very strange. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today, but in a way you may not quite anticipate. That's just the way I am. I don't always anticipate how I think. It's been that kind of year for me. A lot of unanticipated thought processes. You know, we're going through that as a nation right now. Not knowing exactly how to think. Not knowing exactly what to think. And the big switch-ups that have gone on. Big switch-ups going on. You know what a switch-up is in baseball? That's when a pitcher throws fastball, 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 curve. You know, slow pitch. Fastball, fastball, drop ball. You know, that's a changeup. And it can really, really throw a batter. And that's what happens in life. Like I said, the old song Uncle John's Band by the Grateful Dead. When that band, when that song goes through my head, I get a chill, because there, it's almost prophetic. Yeah, the first days are the hardest days. Don't you worry anymore, because when life looks like easy street, there's danger at your door. And when those words lilt through my head uninvitedly, I think, oh, crap, there's something headed my way. And it almost invariably happens. You know, we fans of the Grateful Dead, we have a tendency to kind of take those words to heart when something comes along, a song in the middle of the night, or, you know, when you're just sitting there minding your own business and a song comes along, like a song like Tennessee Jed, you know. rich man standing on my head, and suddenly you find yourself oppressed by something. You get a letter from the IRS or something like that. It happens. It just happens. There are wonderful omens anywhere and everywhere in the universe. It is true. That's how things happen. That's how things happen. People do things that are confusing. People in your life can be very confusing. They don't make sense. They're hard to understand. People are hard to fathom. They're hard to contemplate. There's like, why do people do the things they do? Why? I ask myself that all the time. I've been asking myself that my entire life. Why do people do the things they do? I used to sometimes push people, which wasn't always the smartest idea. But I would push people to the point of anger or laughter why do you do these things that you do? Why would I push someone to the point where they turn around and slug me? Well, to see how far they would go, to see how far I could go before they would snap, before they would do something. I was fascinated with the human personality, with what makes someone do something, you know, change. What makes someone change in that way? I still am. I'm still fascinated. I don't understand people very well. I took an online autistic test once, and it said, "Welcome to the spectrum." It was like, okay, thank you so much. But I guess if you take some of those tests, they almost always will say, "Welcome to the spectrum." But so what? I don't mind. I don't mind that at all. If it is true, I'm fine with it. There's nothing wrong with that. I probably am. They wanted me to skip a couple grades when I was a kid, and I refused to do it. I'd made friends. I didn't make friends all that easily. And I'd made some friends, and I thought, man, that's not going to be easy, because they wanted me to go to a class with kids that beat me up and picked on me. And I thought, now, how's that going to go? You know, change. Change is hard. A lot of change doesn't always interest me. I don't know about you, but change used to really frighten me. When I finally got into a comfortable situation, and it felt really, really good, and I did well in it, and someone would say, you know, surprise, we're going to change it. I say, no, don't change it. Don't change it at all. And I loved learning how things worked. That was why I used to sometimes mess with people's heads a little bit, and not in a bad way, just kind of, you know, work on the little nuts and bolts here and see what would happen, because I wanted to see how things worked, and that's what fascinated me about Tarot, and certainly what fascinates me about the I Ching, because when you deal with energy, and you deal with the elementals, and that's what divination is dealing with elemental forces and the laws of nature, so to speak, in a sort of a different way than physics. Now, physics is about Constance. Constance was a very nice person. She's very pleasant to be around. But if you deal with, I'm kidding, you know that. But if you, and Constance, you may know Constance. But don't call her Connie. She doesn't like it. It's Constance. But that reminds me of someone I used to know. But that's a different story completely. If you really get into the idea of what is physics is about learning the laws of nature. And that's basically all it is. Now, of course, some people say, well, that's not all it is, but it really is all it is. You learn the formulae, right? Or the formulas, if you like music, the la-la-las, the fa-la-las, the formula-la-las. Oh, now, I don't know if you heard that, but that was like an exclamation point. That was a rather loud peal of thunder, you see. A rather loud kaboom. There's a law of nature right there, and that's thunder. Once upon a time, believed to be the thunderbolt of Zeus, the dominion of Zeus. And that's why he was the king of the gods. And then there was also Odin, who was, generally speaking, also a pretty tough guy to deal with, although he was a nicer guy in many, many ways. So there's a storm coming in. Perfect concept for this. Oh, boy, am I getting a chill up and down my spine talking about this. The laws of nature, the power of a storm, the electricity, the energy of it is just magnificent. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about change because it is that change that manifests in the universe that happens. And no matter what we've been through, for example, it was during a show just like this on a Wednesday afternoon on May the 10th in 2023, that we got hailstones the size of large golf balls or small softballs and ruined our roof and a lot of other stuff we owned. And we had to go through the better part of a year of dealing with insurance companies and contractors. And it was really very stressful. And the stress of that in some corners of this house is still being held. You know, it's still very, very stressful. And there's still damage that has not been completely rectified. Now, the house is more or less intact. There's still some things that aren't working completely right, like my weather station gadget and things like that. But you also say, so what? So I can't tell how fast the wind is blowing anymore because my anemometer, the weather cup thing, it was shattered, completely shattered. So it's changed, that change. But there are things inside that have not been fixed yet. Not with me. I'm like, okay. But there's a lot of stress that's still there, you know, in some ways. Wow, I can hear the wind just howling. It's a heck of a storm, you know. Change. Wow. Kind of what I was thinking about. I don't know if you believe in magic, but I do. I believe in magic completely, and magic is just an extension of nature. Nothing is supernatural. Everything is natural. And that means that magic is a part of nature, and it certainly absolutely completely is. Magic is natural. I've been saying one day I'll talk about the K in magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, exclamation point. And I always add the exclamation point because that's a part of it, too. And the K is not some superfluous, frilly thing. People don't understand what it's about. But John Dee added it back in Elizabethan times because it was a part of the way they spelled the word, magic. And they spelled it that way because that was how it was spelled. But Aleister Crowley added it because he was making a point, and I figured out what the point was he was making. And when I understood it, I went, oh, of course. Ooh, you know, I get it. And that's not to say, oh, yay, me. It's to say, oh, yay, Crowley, I know what you mean by that. And it's well worth the point you've made. Well worth the point you've made. It is quite powerful. The key is that magic can be incredibly dangerous in the wrong hands. You can cause changes that ought not to be made. The best magic is the kind that is not that noticeable. I've used it to my detriment. I've used it improperly. I've used it and screwed things up pretty badly for myself. Most people who use it at one time or another make some rather bad mistakes because they don't think about how bad this can go. How bad can this go? But that's a part of change. Because change is just one of those things. If you really want to try and change something for the better, then you can try and do that, but you have to be absolutely ready to mess things up, and you're going to. that's just the way it is. I know I make promises about talking about it more in depth and with greater clarity, but I don't do it. It's because I haven't really sorted out in my head my responsibility yet. And there is a responsibility behind it. And it's a very large responsibility. And it's one I take very seriously. It's a big deal to me. It's not something I take lightly, and that is for certain. You know, it's kind of my karma too, if I can put it that way. But natural law is a powerful law. So changes something. There's a wonderful little scene, chapter 5 of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll, the good Reverend Dodson, Charles Dodson, who wrote these stories for a little girl named Alice. And he liked her a lot. And I don't think anything degenerate happened with Alice. I really don't. I don't get the feeling that that's what it was about. They asked her later in life, and she said, no, nothing happened. And maybe it did, but he took naked pictures of her, blah, blah, blah. But I think it was just, I don't think there was anything untoward. Nowadays, they would probably, toss him in the clink, but his parents knew all about it. Her parents knew all about it, and they were okay with it. He had permission, and it was back then, it was an expression of beauty and nature. But of course, I would not allow it today, and I would not condone it today. And it does seem a little strange, honestly. But then again, Mark Twain, America's great humorist, had 14, 15-year-old girls who hung around his house that he called his angels, and when they turned 16, they were too old. Now, it's very easy to condemn him and assume that he was not in his, not thinking the cleanest thoughts about them, and I hope that's not true. I hope that's not true. Not one of them ever made an accusation against him. And I have a feeling that, he just liked them. He just liked them around because they were young and innocent and not mean-spirited. And I don't know. I don't know. I can't, not knowing the whole truth, I don't know. I would hope that nothing happened. And I pray nothing happened. It just, it's weird. Yeah, it's weird. Now there are people who obviously have been scumbags throughout history. It just ruins things, doesn't it? When you have that shadow, it just kind of makes things icky and ugly. God Almighty. It just, you read these things and you just go, oh, why? Why is that there? Why is there this? And then you read about Mark Twain and his absolute relationship. I can't remember the man's name. He was a black gentleman, and they became best friends. Best friends, And you think, well, that's very cool. And then you read this other thing, you go, yeah, but this is kind of, a little bit this or that. The change. Things change. And we'll know, unless someone actually digs up some correspondence, we may not know the truth. I hate stuff like that. You just wish you could say, what is the truth? And let's get on with it, I don't know. I don't know. I actually don't know. What are you going to do? There are some truths we do know. I'm not going to bring them up. But change. So anyway, Alice in Wonderland. So there is chapter 5 of Alice in Wonderland. Alice gets some advice from a caterpillar. And that's the name of the chapter. So it's Alice Gets Advice from a Caterpillar. And I thought, well, that's an interesting name for a chapter. So it's, you're supposed to focus on that. Now, this is the part where Alice has been changing sizes all morning. Now, obviously, we're meant to think about the fact that maybe what's been happening with Alice here is that she has been dreaming. She fell asleep. If you don't remember the story, she and her older sister have been out here, and her sister's got this book, and Alice has been out there, and Alice, I think, dozes off. It's not the 60s. She hasn't taken a hit of acid or anything like that. She's very young. She's 8 or 9, something to that effect. Not 9. I'm thinking she's probably 7 or 8. So she's young, very, very young, maybe even 6. Who knows? Alice Liddell. And she sees the white rabbit, and she chases the white rabbit. And this story was so trippy and so weird that my generation, we boomers, as you call us, I call us the peace love generation, man, you know, we embraced it whole hog, hook, line, and sinker. We loved it. We enjoyed it completely. I actually had two belt buckles, pewter belt buckles that were popular during the day. One of Alice with the caterpillar, hookah smoking caterpillar, and another one of the walrus and the carpenter, you know, from Alice in Wonderland by Tenniel, Sir John Tenniel, who did the artwork. So Alice, after having been tall and small and this and that, she hears a voice, because she's freaking out, man, because she's been tall and small, and she's wondering what's going on, because she's real small at this point. And she sees this, she peeks up over the edge of this mushroom, and sitting on this mushroom, smoking a hookah, which is a water pipe, you know, a Middle Eastern water pipe, it's a big one, is this big blue caterpillar. Now, you've probably seen the Disney version, but Tenniel did a version himself. And he's just sucking away on this thing. Now, these water pipes in Egypt, they're known as shishas, and they're also known as a hubble bubble, because that's just what some people call them, hubble bubble, and a hookah. And there are hookah lounges now, which is a silly idea. But back in the old days, and they never smoked hash in these things, because they actually have other devices, which are made out of coconuts to do that. Don't ask me how I know. And they smoke tobacco in them. And it's extremely relaxing. Interestingly enough, I used to smoke them with my parents at their house when they'd have company. And in Egypt, I smoked one with my dad at a coffee shop watching Cairo go by. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life, one I will treasure forever, watching Cairo go by, drinking Turkish coffee, smoking a hookah with my dad. It was just a remarkable, remarkable experience that was just as lovely as could be. So, but of course, you know, tobacco is a drug. It really is, especially when you smoke it like that. And so she looks over and he says, "Who are you?" And she doesn't know. She says, "I don't know." He says, I'm paraphrasing, "What do you mean you don't know?" She says, "Well, I'm not sure anymore, because I've been so many different sizes today, I really am not sure who I am." And he considers this to be a ridiculous sort of answer. She says, "Well, you'll find out someday when you become a chrysalis and then you become a butterfly." He said, "I doubt that." He said, "That's all very normal." And she said, "Well, for me, making all these different changes in my life is not normal." He said, "I doubt that. That doesn't seem right to me." So he is, in one way, even though he is someone who changes and is sitting here huffing and puffing on this tobacco and is as spacey as can be, because there is a sort of a high you get when you smoke good tobacco. It's a relaxation. He's very, very relaxed. He and she, you know, basically asks him, you know, who are you, whatever, and he just sits there and puffs on his hookah for a while and just kind of spaces out and doesn't really answer her. Now, maybe Lewis Carroll meant for him to be stoned. I don't know. But I think more than that, he's just in his own world, you know. He's just sitting there huffing and puffing away as a caterpillar. Usually caterpillars are ravenous. You know, they're eating. Not this guy, man. He's smoking a hookah. So it's an interesting sort of exchange. And after a while, she gets annoyed, and she turns around and walks away in a huff, or a minute in a huff. And he says, wait a minute, don't go away. He says, come back. I have something to tell you. And she gets excited, and she says, oh, okay. So she turns around, and she comes back, and she says, what? He says, keep your temper. And I love that. Now, he doesn't say don't lose your temper. He says keep your temper. Now, therein lies words, or therein lie words, that are really powerful. Because keep your temper, those are alchemical words, if you will. The temperance card in Tarot, that temperance card is about, when we say temper, we're talking about the tempering of metal in alchemy. Tempering metal is what allows steel to be strong. You have to temper it. So you have to heat it, and then you have to quench it, and then you have to know how to anneal it, and then form it, and then quench it again, and tempering, and it's an art. And it is a remarkable art, you know, like Damascus steel and Turkish steel. These types of steel are truly to be cherished because the workmanship and the artistry that goes into it sometimes was so secretive that, man, it was, you know, you wouldn't believe what a big deal it was. It was not shared because it was like sharing the atom bomb, the secret to the atom bomb, because it made the difference between victory and defeat. So keep your temper is not just about, you know, don't lose your temper because you're going to go off and do something stupid. It was about this is the secret to absolutely being fused in the world. And whenever things are changing around you, you can still remain completely together, because being together is the key to personal happiness. Now, I've forgotten this over the past several months. I haven't always kept my temper, and I don't mean I've lost my temper and started hollering, although I've done that a couple of times, and not always in anger, just in maybe hysteria in one form or another. Do you know that the word hysteria comes from the word hester, which is where the term hysterectomy comes from? That's right. The ancient Greeks believed that all hysteria came from the uterus. They believed that only women truly became hysterical, and that all men, when men became hysterical, it was only because they were around women and they were getting it from women. Let's just say that the Greeks did not always have the highest impression of women necessarily, which is shameful. But that's how it went. So when next time you use the word hysterical, keep in mind what you're talking about. You are talking about that same concept of the uterus, the history. No, that's a different word, don't worry. But, you know, that hysteria was linked directly to women and the uterus. And I just think that's another one of those things you go, wow, what a sort of a misogynistic culture it was. And that's part of the problem with living in the West. And probably the East too. But there is this sense of we have to grow up and we have to keep our temper. Right now we're living in a society where there are people who are saying, you know what we need to do? We need to not allow women who haven't been married and aren't married and don't have children, we can't let them make decisions. It's like, what? Where does this come from? Well, it comes from men who are frightened, and women who do have children and are married who don't think that those other women should have a say, because it kind of says, well, they shouldn't because I do have children and I am married. It's just, it's a strange thing. It's like seeing the millionaires saying, you know what, we're millionaires. I've always said, it's very easy for the incredibly rich and the incredibly powerful to believe fully in God and in whatever their religion is. And for that religion then to become, you know, I've always watched the players on the field, you know, football players and hockey players on the field. Maybe they should be on the ice, but they're on the field sometimes. And you watch them and they do some remarkable thing and they point up. You know, they look up and they point up like, that's right, thank you. You were there for me. And I always think, man, it's easy for them to believe because they're outstanding athletes. They've worked really hard and they look up and they think, I'm wealthy, I'm healthy, and I'm getting paid, you know, $2 million per game throughout the entire season. And I've got a contract that guarantees I'll get this money no matter what else happens to me for the next 5 years. God likes me. No, 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 no. God loves me and favors me. And that always gets to me, you know? I always think, well, good for you, but you've got a good reason to believe it. You've got an excellent reason to believe it, and that's just wonderful. What about a schlub like me who doesn't play the game, doesn't, you know, people like us, we work really, really hard for it. Now, there are those who believe, who don't have, you know, 2 cents to their name necessarily, and would get out on that field and would be crippled for life, you know, at the word hot, hot, hot. The words, and it would be the end of the game for them, and we wouldn't have the insurance or anything else, and, you know, we wouldn't point up, and we'd say, what happened here? They'd say, well, you know, God doesn't favor you that way. I'm just saying. So it's a fascinating thing, the way people look at themselves and each other, and they look at the rest of the world. It's like, well, you just don't have that blessing. And that was how, for thousands of years, people looked at the strata of society. They looked at those who had as not being favored, and those who had as being favored. That was it. They're the chosen ones. They were the ones who had all the goodies, and therefore those goodies meant that they were, well, you know how it is. Look at the way I look. You know, look, I have 2 eyes and I have teeth, you know, and that means that I've been chosen. Wow. Yeah. Keep your temper. Keep your temper. So that's one of the big real, that's a big sticking point for a lot of people. People lose their temper a lot. I've always looked at that as a form of fear and a form of, people think that if they lose their temper and they act in a way that is kind of ridiculous, so to speak, I'll put it that way, that they're going to get their way. And they often do. They often do. But at what cost? At the cost of their, well, at the cost of their dignity, perhaps, but they don't even know it. The people around them may despise them. They don't even know it. The people may actually consider them intensely weak. They probably do know that. A lot of things other than that, too. So the caterpillar says, keep your temper. And what he's really saying is, in all these changes that are going on, we're all going through a lot of changes right now. Look at this country. Look at this country right now, what's going on. It's about as uncertain as anything you or I can imagine. Wouldn't you say? The changes that are going on around us right now are about as uncertain as anything I've ever seen. I've never seen it this wild, and I've seen a lot of things like this happen. You know, a lot of campaigns going on. The first president I can remember is Dwight D. Eisenhower. I can remember Dwight D. Eisenhower. Ike. I can remember Ike. And, you know, the main thing I remember about him is playing golf and heart attacks. I remember that very well. And the first campaign I remember is Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy. I remember that very well. And I remember everything else after that. But I've just all the hype and all that stuff. I remember everything after that. But I've never seen anything like what's going on now. And it means I remember a lot of fear and a lot of loathing, but nothing like what we have now. So when I was thinking about those words that the caterpillar said, keep your temper, it made sense in a much different way than the normal, which was not just don't get mad, don't start yelling, don't. It was keep your strength. It was no matter about what the changes are, because you remember we went through that, the whole country went through this very strange down period if you were a Democrat, up period if you were a Republican, after the debate when Trump and Biden debated. People were like, wow, that's strange. You've got one half of the country getting ready to fly by flapping their wings. They were so excited. And the other just, you know, dragging. And then suddenly, in an instant, it reverses. It just, boom. You know, by the end of the convention, you know, people are flying around with wings on their shoulders. It was like, this can't be, I mean, it is completely different. It's optimistic, but we have to find some realism somewhere. It's kind of manic depressive in a way. And so it's fascinating to see, fascinating to watch, but we have to find our place within it, and we have to keep our temper. We can't allow ourselves to turn into a puddle of sound goo, right? Right. We have to find the middle here. Huh. Yeah, I think we do. Interesting dynamic, don't you think? Can you feel it? Can you feel the... Did you feel that kind of interesting... Dave? Who's Dave? That just came into my mind very strongly, the name Dave. And I don't know why. And I have a friend named Dave. What? Who the heck and why did that come into my mind? See, that's weird. Yeah, maybe I'm losing my mind, huh? Dave. Maybe that comes with my territory, doing what I do. Who's Dave? Well, I'll keep my ear to the ground, and if I figure it out, I'll let you know. I have a friend named Dave. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Maybe I should get in touch with him, see what he's doing. I get in touch with him. I mean, that was just a strong blurting out. Sorry about that. Whew, that's weird. See? Wow. That was really strange. See, that's my world. That's my world. That was really weird. Wonder how he's doing. He's brilliant. He's brilliant. He's a physicist, as a matter of fact. Nuclear physicist. Genius level. Great guy. Haven't talked to him in years and years. He and I were very close at one time. I guess I better give him a call. Or send him an email or something. This is what you get with live radio. And those of you listening in the future, it's not live still, but you still get the weirdness of it. Keep your temper, Mo. Keep it together. Change. The changes of the last few months have been really hard on me. And having a puppy in the house, because we still get up a couple times in the night, I take her out. Because she's just a puppy. Only a few months old. It's hard to remember that. Because she's, you know, no longer the size of a teacup. You know, she's getting pretty big. And she's ornery, as way puppies are. But my God, she's just loving and sweet and tears things up. Not all puppies are like that, but this one is. But oh my goodness, am I into her. Do I love her. But it's hard when a source of love so pure, so solid, just vanishes. I know it hasn't vanished completely. It's there. I can feel it. But my goodness. It's an ache. But it was wonderful. See, that's the thing about love. That's the whole thing about love. We have people in our lives that we love. We love so much. I've had friends that I've loved so much. An old friend of mine from junior high school and high school wrote me, asked me, I have a feeling that maybe there's something not right with him. I don't mean mentally. And it kind of upset me. And I didn't call him on it, but I mentioned, you know, what's this? And I don't know if I don't know. But anyway, so. And at the end of this little message I sent him, I told him that I loved him. And even though we haven't seen each other in about 40 years or so, I do love him. And I mean it, because it was a time when coming out of the sixth grade, going into the seventh grade, which was mid-school, I guess they call it now middle school. But I'll tell you something. I found this weird kid, awkward, artistic. My God, what a brilliant artist. As weird as I was, and I was weird, and I was artistic, and we met each other both. We were in theater together. We were in a play in the ninth grade. It was a melodrama. And we were in theater and together in high school, and he was just as nutty as I was, you know. And I wrote, I love you, man, and he I haven't heard back from him. Now he's traveling. And I don't know if I freaked him out or made him mad or something. Maybe I did. But I meant it. And I was of a generation that told people we loved each other all the time. And it wasn't awkward because we would say, I love you. We said peace and love. We did it all the time. And I still do that because I don't see anything wrong with that. Because to me, love is a powerful, powerful concept. It's about being with someone you care for and not being afraid to show that. And I have friends that I loved that aren't around anymore. I'm 70. You know? That's going to happen. So what do you do along the road? You keep your temper. You keep strong. Change. It's not just about changing sizes. Everything changes every day. It's not the same world. 2 days in a row. It's not the same world. My God, I heard there was a shooting today. God Almighty, another shooting. Columbine was horrible. I knew one of the kids in Columbine. I thought, my God, what is going on here? And it's happening again. What do? You keep your temper. There's so much anger in the world. So much pain. So much fear. You know? Where's the love? Well, it starts with us. And maybe people get mad at me when I say I love you. Well, maybe my friend thought, well, why hasn't he called me in the last 40 years, you know? Well, I tried a couple times. Couldn't find him. It's not easy to find people all the time. I did try. And you're afraid to horn in on someone and have them say, this guy's really kind of weird. And I am kind of weird, baby. But at the same time, I'm not going to shy away from the way I feel about people. We were very important to each other. We were close friends. We laughed together at a time when we were just, when I used the word awkward before, I meant it. We were awkward. We were just misfits. We were round pegs in square holes. We got laughed at. We were geeks before people used the word. We were nerds before people used the word. Don't let them kid you. Those words were not being used in my neighborhood. We've got to stick together. We've got to do something for each other. We've got to love each other. We've got to love each other. Look at what's happening in Israel. My God, what a mess. And it's just so obvious what the problem is. You know? You got people in the streets rioting, begging them to make a deal, begging, please. Our people are being slaughtered on both sides. For God's sake, please make a deal. You know, war, what the world? What is going on? Warmongering for what? And we humans, we just sit back and let these big-headed people just do whatever they want to do. What is wrong? What? Yeah, I don't get it. I never have. I never have understood it. It's never made a bit of sense to me. But what are you going to do? Well, you write an article, maybe, or you have a radio show, or you talk to everyone you can. Maybe you wear a pin with a peace symbol on it, because everyone who sees it knows what it means. And they may think you're the biggest dummy in the world for wearing it, but you know what? It means something. Maybe you wear a paisley button. And they think, what the hell does that mean? Well, for me, the paisley is a representation not only of a time, but of an idea. And it has, to me, it has power. It has magical power. It changes things. It's a seed. It's a germ. In the real term, germination. It has the power to move mountains. Yeah. In this paisley penny arcade. Why a penny? Because a penny is not much. doesn't take much. So change is happening all the time. And if we can keep our temper, we can grow, we can shrink, we can move. But we're always us. Who are you? You don't be like Alice and say, well, I don't know. Things have changed so much. We have to know who we are. We have to start somewhere and be ourselves. And sometimes we have to take a deep breath and come back to ourselves and say, man, it's been a hell of a summer. And man, my heart was just torn to shreds. But I'm still me. And I have to regroup. And I have to keep my temper. And regroup and come back to who I am. I think that's what it's about. Maybe get my hookah out. Stoke it up. I'm not going to do that. But be a nice meditation, maybe. All right. Thank you all. Thank you, Zeus, for that little exclamation point at the right time. My dear friends, from the bottom of my heart, I love you. Till next week, I wish you all peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, And Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy, because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good.